you're going to be tempted to beat yourself up for, again, for not having gotten further and for not doing more. And how can you possibly spend your attention equally on all of the different things that you love to do? Well, here is my secret. Hello and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing innovators in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces. I also bring you ideas and techniques that you can grab and use to set goals, create, and unlock your potential for changing yourself and the world. And now let's get to the show. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Thank you so much for being here. I have some fun news, and it's all about the episode that I want to talk about today. So let's first talk about the fun news. I have a book coming out next week, August 9th, my first mystery novel, part of the Cassie Belmont Tarot Reader Mysteries series about a professional tarot reader who works with the DC police to solve crimes is going to be coming out. I'm super excited. I cannot wait. Now, here's the thing about this book and why I want to talk about it today. And actually not about specifically about the book. That'll come later this week because I do want to talk a little bit about the writing and the publishing process. But I do want to talk about something that I think is super important that we need to be paying attention to. And that is being multifaceted. You're not only one thing. That's something we tend to forget about and not think about the way we could. We have been given the message that you have to be the one thing and you have to be great at the one thing. And that's the only thing you could be doing and only focus on one thing, because otherwise you're going to dilute your brand. You're going to dilute your message and blah, 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 blah. Honestly, And here's why I say that. Because we are multifaceted people. You are never just one thing. If you're a lawyer, you're not just a lawyer. You might also be a sailor or a bowler or a hiker or a reader, or any number of things. If you're an accountant, the same thing. If you're an artist, the same thing. If you're a creative of any kind, the same thing. It's something that you really need to think about, that when you box yourself in into one thing, you are only one thing, and that's all you're showing to the world. But I'm here to make the case for being multifaceted. You are multifaceted. Let's just call it what it is. You are multifaceted. I am multifaceted. We're never just one thing. So the question then becomes, if we are multifaceted, how do we deal with it? I'm going to tell you a little bit about the way I do things. I am not just a podcaster, for example. Yes, I host this podcast. I'm also one of the two people who hosts the Two Women of a Certain Age podcast. I'm also one of the four people who hosts the State of the Arts podcast, and I also host The Vegan Life. So I'm podcasting all over the place. That is true. Here's the thing, though. I'm also a writer. I've written seven books, editing number 7 and number 8 is coming out next week, or vice versa, depending on how you want to look at it. So I have lots and lots of different interests. I'm also a singer, and I lead and manage one of the premier holiday caroling groups in the USA, the Philosopher's Tones. I'm also a coach. I coach other people on how to set goals and achieve them, particularly through that innovator or creative lens. So I do lots of different things. And people often ask me, like, how do you do all of that? Well, here's the thing. And I didn't even mention the fact that I'm a professional intuitive consultant and coach, where I take symbols and interpret them and help you plan your life and see what's going to happen. And I love doing that too. And here's the thing. People ask me, as I said, how do you do all that? How do you get all of that stuff done? Well, there are a couple of different keys. First of all, I don't jump from one thing to the next. That's one thing you definitely don't want to do if you're multifaceted. If you are multifaceted, and some people call it multi-passionate, but I don't think so. I think of it more as multifaceted. Imagine yourself like a jewel, like a sapphire or a diamond. Each one of those little flat planes on that stone is a facet. That's what faceted means, right? So together, all of them make the whole gem. And the gem isn't complete without all of those facets. And that's what we are. I think we are all multifaceted beings. And because of that, we're going to have multifaceted interests. And so you can be a musician and a writer and a podcaster and a coach like I am. So first, you have to decide, what are you? Are you a writer? And are you a speaker? And are you an accountant? And are you a swimmer? And are you a hiker? And are you a parent? And are you any number of different possible things? Dancer, actor, construction worker, secretary or admin person, receptionist, custodial engineer, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are as far as what you do. It just matters that you figure out for yourself. Sit down, make a piece of paper, and make a column that just says, who am I? What are all of the different facets of me? Now, all of these may not be your career. They may not be the way you make money, but they definitely do make up the things that you are passionate about, the things that you are interested in, and the things probably that you spend at least a little time on. So that's one thing. Make a list for yourself of all of the different things that you are or that you do. And then make a second column and see which, if any of those, are the things that you use to make money. Is there money already coming in for all of these different things that you do? And a third column can be, if they aren't making you money and you want to be making money with them, which ones of those do you want to be making money with? Right? And then the last column is, realistically, which ones of those will people pay you for? Right? And then you're going to have to see, all of those different lines are going to be either intersecting or maybe they don't intersect, and you're going to have to do some hard thinking about what it is you want to do with all of these different facets of who you are. That's cool. But I really do want to encourage you to think about those columns and then figure out for yourself. And in fact, maybe I'll put together a little sheet for you to easily put all of that stuff down. Why? Because I think it's important for us to know all of our different talents and skills, because that's what that first line is. Know which ones are already bringing in some revenue. Know which ones we want to use to bring in some revenue, and know which ones the world is willing to pay us for. For example, in my mystery novel, I already have a whole bunch of pre-orders. Now, I drop the price for the first 24 hours the book is going to be available for pre-order and for sale down to 99 cents. So I have a bunch of pre-orders. So I already have a little bit of money coming in for that book, right? People are interested in a professional tarot reader who's going to solve crimes. And I'm very grateful that people are interested in Cassie and her adventures. But my point is that this is something that my books make me money. So that would be a yes in that column. You know, does it make you money? And do I want to make more money with my writing? Absolutely. Do I want to make more money with my podcasting? Absolutely. Do I want to make more money with my music? Absolutely. And you might be listening to this and you might be going, oh, she's spreading herself super thin. I am. And I love it, right? So how do I do it? How do I remain a successful, multifaceted, creative person? Well, I budget my time, right? I chunk up, as they call it, the different activities. For example, I work on the podcast every Monday morning from about 8 a.m. to about noon. I work on the podcast, putting out all of the social media posts that I'm going to need to put out for the week. I put out, I finalize all of the episodes that need to be finalized for the rest of the week. Sunday is when I usually do the next day's interview episode, because the way my podcast works is that there are 5 episodes a week, generally speaking, and I do one interview with someone who is an innovator and a change maker, and then the other 4 episodes usually have some sort of a theme for the week. Why is this important? Because I want to have longer term contact with you, and I also want to provide you in-depth benefits. I don't want to just add a little value. I want you to be able to go deep into these subjects and really learn what you need and want out of it, really soak it up. So here I am, I'm looking at all of this and I'm going, okay, so this is what my Monday mornings are like. My Sunday mornings, for example, I get up early and I do my meditating and I do my yoga and I do all of that stuff. And then I spend time reconciling my finances from the week, figuring out what the money I've spent and all of that and where it's all going and doing my budgeting. And then I also do all of my TikTok videos and Instagram reels. I set them all up Sunday morning very early before my husband gets up. So you see, I'm scheduling these things as they go. During the week, I also see my coaching client, my life and career coaching clients. So I do that and I see those clients and my intuitive consulting clients during the week between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. That's the time that I use to schedule people as far as having live Zoom appointments. So I've batched that. My music, I usually do in the evenings. That also is where my reading time is, or if I go out with friends or go to see a show or whatever. But the other mornings, the other roughly 8 to 12 p.m. Tuesday through Friday are some of the other items on that list. I write. And when I'm actively writing a book, I'm also writing every single day. And I do, and how do I put this? Instead of doing, I'm going to write for an hour, I do 2,000 words a day. That's my goal. And when I reach 2,000 words a day, I stop. And here's something, if you're a writer, and I'm going to talk about this more in the next couple of days, leave yourself a, this is what I'm about to write about next note when you stop writing. It'll help you get right back into the writing process if you know what you were going to say next. A lot of writers finish and then come back and go, well, I don't know what I was going to say next. I don't know what was supposed to happen next. Crud. And then you waste valuable time batting your head against the wall, trying to go, oh, I don't remember. And instead, if you say, this is what you're going to write about next, and you have a little sentence or two like that, then you go, oh yeah, easily slide back in and keep on going. So that time when I'm actively writing as opposed to editing is spent usually for me first thing in the morning after I meditate and after I do my yoga. Then I spend some time writing. Right now I'm editing Get Booked, which is the next book, and that's going to be all about how to work with booking agents. That book I'm editing right now, so that's Tuesday through Friday. That's those 8 a.m. through 12 p.m. time slots is when I'm editing. So you see what I mean? When I'm doing this, I'm not trying to do piecemeal, oh, I'm going to spend 10 minutes of this and then 10 minutes on that and then 20, because it does take your brain a little bit of time to go, oh, this is done. I'm done with this and I'm ready to move on. And then go on to the next thing. If you're doing that every time, and let's say it even takes you a minute, maybe it takes you 30 seconds, but you've wasted that time. And if you're going to be a multifaceted entrepreneur, you're going to absolutely need to figure out how to streamline the things that you're doing in order to be able to do them all efficiently, effectively, and in an exciting and thrilling way for you too, right? You don't want to be in a situation where you've just gotten into writing something and then 10 minutes later, something comes in and wrecks your concentration. So you want to be sure that you've given yourself enough time to really go in depth on whatever it is you're trying to do and then come back out of it to go on to the next thing. One of the things that I do is I have little social media blockers on my browser so that I am not tempted to get on social media while I'm trying to create. It's too easy to go, oh, I feel a little bit bored or I feel a little bit out of what I'm trying to do. Let me check TikTok or Facebook or Twitter or whatever. It's too easy. You have to make it harder on yourself. Now, not impossible, because if you really need to get on there, you need to get on there. But for me, I make it at least one more step between what I'm doing and getting back on social media. I give myself a little, are you sure you want to do that? That's one of the ways that I do that. Another thing that I do is I have lots of to-do list items. And yes, I know some people don't like them. You can do list or to-doist or whatever it is that works for you. Asana, I think they call it Asana. Anyway, all of these different things are available to you to schedule the things that you need to do so that nothing falls through the cracks. One of the things that happens to multifaceted people is you've got your brain so full of all the different things and all the different projects that things do slip through the cracks. One of the best ways that you can make sure they don't is to keep a running tally of all of the things that you have promised yourself that you're going to do. That's what part of my Sunday morning is for. Also, I make a list of the things on all of the different projects that I'm going to work on that I need to accomplish for the week. You can do that in Asana. You can do that with Trello. You can do that with Todoist. You can do it with a simple to-do list in an Excel spreadsheet, whatever works for you. Personally, I like checking off what I've done, right? I like going, oh, that's finished. And because I like to do that, I do it with list making apps that allow me to have that satisfaction of checking off what I've achieved. So that's one of the other things that I do to make it easier for me to be multifaceted. And I want to encourage you to really give some thought to whether or not you want to embark on this, because it is more challenging. You're not focusing on just one thing. You are focusing your life and your work and your creativity in multiple veins, right? And that means that you want to be sure that it's something you want to do and something you're delighted to try. If you don't have an optimistic, excited, motivated mindset, it's going to be really hard to switch gears. It's going to be really hard to go from one thing to the next. And you're going to be tempted to beat yourself up because you should, and you know how much I hate the word should, you should, quote unquote, be doing it better. And that's not true. You can only do what you can do. And I want you to remember that. You can only do what you can do. Try not to do any more than what you can do because you'll burn yourself out. But also, you need to give yourself some grace, right? You need to give yourself patience and a more abundant mindset, because as soon as you start beating yourself up, you get into that lack mindset, the, oh, I could have done better, I should have done better, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, absolutely. I guess you could have, or you should have, or I could have, or I should have, or whatever, but you didn't, but I didn't. And that's okay, because you're here now, and starting where you are is the most important thing. So I'm going to encourage you to really think about it that way. Start where you are instead of where you want to be. Because if you try to start where you want to be, you're playing catch up already. Start where you are. Start with the foundation of knowing who you are, where you are, what time it is, and that's, by the way, now, and what you want to achieve. And then you go from there. Don't try to go, oh, I could have done, you know, I could have been a contender, as I think it was Marlon Brando said it in the movie. So what? He could have been. He wasn't. The point is to do what you can now, to be who you are now, and to approach it all from that, I'm going to do my very best, beginner's mindset. Okay, so that's part of it. And the last part is you're going to be tempted to beat yourself up for, again, for not having gotten further and for not doing more. And how can you possibly spend your attention equally on all of the different things that you love to do? Well, here is my secret. If you want to be a multifaceted worker, person, being, entrepreneur, creative, artist person, you have to love what you're doing while you're doing it. Let me remind you and repeat that. You have to love what you're doing the entire time you're doing it, because no one is going to tell your story like you tell it. No one is going to do things the way you do them. And if you spend any time beating yourself up for the things that you haven't done or that you feel like you haven't done right, instead of focusing in on loving what you're doing while you're in the process of doing it, you're going to be very unhappy. So instead, turn it around. Find what you love about what you're doing. Even if you don't love it, find what you can love about it. Find what you can love about it, right? For example, I'm about to send some emails to new agents, and I'm going to be very honest. The admin of figuring out and making sure that I've written the right email to the right person and have the right name, and that stuff gets my brain into a twist, and I always find it challenging. So here's the problem for me, is that I have to find what I love about sending those emails. And here's what I love about it. I get to connect with new people I haven't met before. And for some people, that would be a, oh, no, I don't want to connect with new people. I want to sit down and read a book. If you're an introvert, you might not want to connect with new people. It might be something that causes you some consternation, and I get it. For me, finding out about new people, meeting new people, getting to know who they are, getting to know what makes them tick, getting to know what they do for fun, getting to know what they like is catnip. I love doing that. So what I love about doing the rough, for me, admin work of contacting new people is getting the chance to connect with them and to learn more about them. I have cultivated a curiosity. Let me do that again, because my mouth isn't working as well as I wanted to. I have cultivated a curiosity about new people. I have cultivated a curiosity about new things. I love input, like from Short Circuit, need more input. That's kind of how I am. I love learning new things about most anything. And so getting the chance, the opportunity to connect with a new person and learn more about them and who they are and what they like is fabulous to me. You might find the actual admin part of admin something that's really fun for you. The point of it is to make those things very personalized and customized and get the right person with the right email matched up and all of that. I'm glad. If that's what you love, I am so a little envious and also glad for you, because that to me is not the fun part. That is the part that's get down there, put your head down, put your nose to the grindstone and work. And that's how I do it. On the other hand, something that I did last week that was a project, I made these lovely little pins. And I had to, and a bunch of people said, as part of my daily art piece every day project, I made this thing that people loved. And a bunch of people said, I want a pin of that. Can you make a pin of that? And I went, sure. So I ordered some pins of that one art piece. People went nuts over them. And then I had to send out a bunch of little envelopes with the right number of pins to the right person addressed correctly. Oh, that makes my head hurt. That kind of stuff just makes me want to run away. So how did I find out and figure out what I can love about that process? Well, one, creating the art piece that people wanted was amazing. That felt so good. I have to just say that. It felt so great to have created something that people went, oh my goodness, I want that. I want it as a pin or a postcard or whatever. That felt amazing. But the other part that I was able to figure out and love about what was happening was that I was getting to send these pins to people who really wanted them, who wanted to wear a piece of art that I had made. How cool is that? How amazing is that? And that is what I was clinging to while I was trying to make sure that I'd put the right number of pins in the envelope and addressed it correctly and then took it to the post office and went through the process of mailing it. All of the stuff that I find challenging was made much easier because I kept in my mind the fact that people were going to be getting these pins and were going to enjoy having them. And in fact, since then, several people have posted on Facebook and I think Twitter also images of them having received their pins and how much they like them. How cool is that, right? So everything comes back around to me going, oh, I created the art. That part was amazingly fun. People really responded to the art. That part was amazingly fun. They wanted the pins. Figuring out how to make pins and getting the pins, that was a little challenging. And then figuring out how to send everything, that was super challenging. And that was the point at which I kept the really good stuff in my mind while I was doing the really challenging stuff. And that made it much, much easier to do the entire thing. So that is how I encourage you, as you're looking at the various facets of who you are and what you want to do, that is how I am going to encourage you to get through the parts that are challenging and to love what you're doing while you're doing it. And if you don't love what you're doing, find what you can love about it. It's one of the best pieces of advice I've ever developed. Honestly, I'd say this to my coaching clients all the time when they have tasks that are challenging. And also, don't forget, you can slow down. You can take it one step at a time. Make sure that you've taken one step. Make sure that you've got everything taken care of, and then move on to the next step. Make it up to your comfort level. Because if you feel like things are precarious when you also don't like something, it's going to raise that anxiety level sky high, and you don't want to do that. You want to be calm and collected and hopefully excited about what you're doing. And again, one of the best ways to do that, if you don't adore what you're doing, figure out what you can adore about what it is that you're doing. All right, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. This is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm going to be talking more about the process of getting a book done in the next few days because, yes, Die by the Sword, which is that first book in the Cassie Belmont mystery series, is coming out very shortly. I'm ridiculously excited about it. I really am. I'm just thrilled that this is happening and I can't wait for the book to be out. So until next time, I remind you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2022. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you.